Well, this is the last Sunday of May, and our theme for the month of May has been spiritual living through creativity. Well, that's not going to stop once the month is over, because we are all about living spiritually through creativity. And the Centers for Spiritual Living, the International Centers for Spiritual Living, have a quote for this month, which is, "We allow the ongoing activity of spirit into our hearts, minds, and activities to bring forth new forms and expression to inspire and to guide." And today is about a flowing fountain of fullness. Now, was that because we're going to get to see the fountain at Longwood Gardens this afternoon? Well, I probably had it on my mind, but that's going to be spectacular. I'm looking forward to it. Reverend Mike and I love everything around here. We will never, ever tire of exploring the beautiful things you offer to us. Thank you very much. Just last night, we were at the Man for the Philly Pops Memorial Day concert. It was fabulous. And talk about creativity and a willingness to shift the world consciousness. Of course, it was about honoring everybody who has served our country. And I cannot stand and sing the Star Spangled Banner without crying. I can't do it, okay? And I can't not cry when they're having all the different, the Army and the Navy and the Marine Corps captains all stand, you know, with the, while they're doing their, the themes for each of the, it just gets me, it just does. But then what really got me? They had a fabulous chorus in addition to the fabulous Philly Pops, and our own Emily and Jeff were singing in the chorus, and that was exciting too. But they sang, get this, "Let There Be Peace on Earth." So we have the courage to be creative, to bring from what has been into what the new concept and the divine idea is that we are here to bring forth into the world. Let there be peace on earth, and you better start it. No, that's not how it goes, is it? You're going to wage peace? Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. This is very exciting. This is very creative, and I love it. So Ernest Holmes says, somewhere the soul must stand naked to the truth if it is to receive it in all its fullness. There must be an outlet as well as an inlet if there is to be a continual flow. There is a continual flow of life, this beautiful, fresh stream of the living spirit moving through each and all of us, because there's only one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is your life and my life now. Once we really understand that we're not here and God somewhere else, that the very presence of the divine needs each of us as a beautiful instrument through which to express in this world, then we do allow the creativity to flow. We allow the life to flow. We allow the love to flow. We allow the joy to flow. We don't get real serious around here. Have you noticed? Joy is an attribute of God. Of course we wish to circulate it, right? And so all of this is essential for our spiritual well-being and our continued evolution. We are all spiritually evolving individually and as a whole divine human race. As I've shared with some of you, in the center in Palm Desert, there was a fabulous woman. She's still just the dearest, dearest person. Reverend Kathleen was a chaplain minister, and she's probably close to 98 by now. And when I was there, she took every class I ever gave, and she's taken all the classes in the world. And one day, she's sitting in the front row, which she always did in class, and I said, "Reverend Kathleen, it is always a joy to have you in class, but how come you just keep coming to these classes?" And she said, "I just keep evolutin' right along." That's what we're doing. We are all evolutin' right along in our own way, in our own pace. And isn't it wonderful to have a beloved community like this that encourages, we encourage each other to keep evolutin' right along. We are in this process of opening ourselves and becoming clearer, purer instruments for the flow of this divine life. And we are continually learning to accept this divine flow through us. And that means giving up a lot of the nonsense about, well, I'm only human. We are human, and isn't it fun? But we're way more than that, much, much more than that. So we want to train our conscious minds to focus on the truth. We want to clear out any debris that we may still have in our subconscious minds, things we grew up with that never were true, but we accepted them as true. And isn't it wonderful that now we have the ability to change our subjective nature, our subconscious mind, and become more receptive to the great and growing good that really was designed for us? It's a delight to live in grace and to remain steady in this delicious experience of aliveness. It's a delicious experience of aliveness to be letting spirit flow through us. And it does take courage to be creative, doesn't it? Like the Let There Be Peace on Earth. Like people who serve in so many different ways for our country. VISTA is still going on, where for a year, young people can serve right here at home to help to teach people, to raise them out of poverty. Then we have a thing called the Peace Corps. Somebody has enough courage not only to stand up and sing with her sister here, but to trot off to Ethiopia for 3 years in the Peace Corps. You're not going to let her go? It takes courage to be creative. And we have it. Because cœur, what's cœur? From the French? Cœur of the heart. That's where the courage is. That's standing up and doing what we know is the most wonderful thing for us and probably for a whole lot of other people. So we want to live in this wonderful state of flow. Let's play with a little neurobiology this morning. Have you heard about the state of flow? It's something I've been aware of all my life, but never from the neurological standpoint. I know that I am happy and expressive and joyous and productive and connect well with everyone in my world and I do what I want to do so beautifully when I am in the flow. You know what it's like to be in the flow, right? Well, I found out that there is a neurological basis for this. This flow state, it's an optimal state of consciousness where we feel our best and perform our best. How many of you have ever been runners? Remember the runner's high? None of you? Come on. So in this state, concentration becomes, yes, you did, becomes so laser focused that everything else falls away. We're just really in the zone. You know what it's like. You artists, you potters, you know what it's like to be in the zone, don't you? So action and awareness merge, and our sense of self, ego self, our sense of ego self consciousness just disappears, and time dilates. And in this sense, it means it either speeds up or it slows down, depending on what we need. And that's where we are experiencing all the aspects of our performance being heightened. So flow, and it's not just the name of a waitress. I can remember one time I was working with somebody doing counseling who was very tense, very uptight. And as we worked together and as she began to relax and let God work through her more effectively, we renamed her Flo. And years later, when I get a call from her from across the country, hello, Flo. So Flo is the product of profound changes in the standard brain function. None of us here have standard brains, but anyway, in the state, our brain waves move from the fast-moving beta wave of normal waking consciousness down to the far slower borderline between alpha and theta waves. And alpha, of course, is associated with daydreaming mode, where we can slip from thought to thought without much internal resistance. Theta, meanwhile, only shows up during the REM or just before we fall asleep. We get the most amazing images, right? Just before we fall asleep or just before we awaken. It's that hypnagogic gap where ideas combine in really radical ways. And since creativity is always, this is another word I learned, recombinatory. You like that one? The product of novel information bumping into old thoughts creates something startlingly new. We had this idea, we had this information, we've had these experiences, now we're getting some new insights, and the two together create something amazing. And so being able to slip between thoughts quickly and combine them wildly enhances creativity at a very fundamental level. Aren't you glad to know that? Okay, but the brain waves are only the beginning of this discussion, because flow is also caused by, here's another big word, transient hyperfrontality. Okay, oh wow. Say that with me, transient hyperfrontality. Transient hyperfrontality. You will not read that in the Science of Mind textbook. The temporary deactivation of the prefrontal cortex. So the prefrontal cortex is the part of the brain that that houses most of our higher cognitive function. So why does our sense of self disappear in flow? Because self, ego self, is generated by large portions of the prefrontal cortex, with large swatches of this area no longer open for business. You have to let it just take care of itself for a while. It's closed. It's out to lunch. You've said that about your friends from time to time, right? And that sense just vanishes completely. Now, this I learned from a fellow named Stephen Kotler. He's an author and a journalist, and he studies psychologists and neurologists. So at this point, we become open to something greater. That's the whole thing. Just as we heard in Sarah's opening prayer treatment this morning, that there is something greater than us that we can use, and it can use us. That's why this great flow is so important for us to get into the zone of divine circulation, so that we are receiving and we're sharing, and we're receiving and we're sharing, and it never stops. And we're opening ourselves to that greatness within us, that divinity within us that wishes to express through us. As Meister Eckhart said, just let God be God in you. Now, that means that we still have the sense of personal self, but we're opening it. You know, I don't think we ought to be destroying the ego. The ego is very important. We had to build it up in order to do well in this world, right? We became successful because we developed a healthy ego. But now is the time to let the ego become transparent, so that it allows spirit to shine through. So we become even more effective when we're opening ourselves to this divine flow and utilizing all the parts of our being, spiritual, human, the whole thing. And remember that the brain, as marvelous as an instrument as it is an instrument. It is an instrument. It doesn't do the thinking. You take it out and put it down, you're permanently out to lunch. Let's instead realize that the brain of itself is a beautiful instrument through which divine mind flows and expresses its great creative ideas. That's how we get to be mostly creative and successful, by being open and receptive to that precious flow of divinity. And it's a wonderful feeling. We need to keep this instrument healthy and free of debris in order for the creative process to work through us, in order to receive those divine ideas, that spiritual information, those intuitive notions, and then act upon them. We don't want to just receive that divine inspiration and think, oh, that's a good idea, I wish somebody would develop that. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and put legs under those dreams and move forward with them. So as we no longer permit any hindrance of spirit to move through our physical, our mental, and our emotional nature, we begin to enjoy a really full, beautiful, balanced way of living. We're positively connecting with others in peace and in harmony, and we're creating a world that works for all. You want to create a world that works for all? That's what we're doing. That is our biggest vision, is to awaken humanity to its spiritual magnificence. It's time we let people know that they're spiritually magnificent. They're not worms of the dust. They're spiritually magnificent beings. When I was growing up in my wonderful church in Redondo Beach, my beloved teacher, you hear a lot about him, you always will, his name is Barney. Well, that was a nickname for his real name, which was Earl D. Barnum. And Dr. Barnum was a light in my life. He was like a second papa to me from the time I was 10 years old. And I mentioned one Sunday in my church in Palo Alto when I was talking to the children before they went to their classrooms that my teacher was Barney. And this little five-year-old said, "Your teacher was Barney? The dinosaur?" But my Barney, my beloved Barney, there was a woman in our center, I may have mentioned this to you before, she was a wonderful Episcopalian lady, and she would go to her Episcopalian church at 9 o'clock and then come to the Religious Science, Science of Mind, Spiritual Center at 11. And she said to Barney many times, she says, "You know, I really like being with you all," but she said, "I'm a lifetime, lifelong, dyed in the wool, cradle to grave Episcopalian, that's not going to change, I will always be a member of that church." He said, "Fine, it's wonderful. You can, you know, we're happy to have you here any way you want to show up." Till one day she came in at about 5 minutes to 11, grabbed Barney and said, "I'm joining this church." He said, "Well, why? You're a lifelong Episcopalian. Why would you do that?" She said, "Well, it was one thing when over the years they've been saying that we were worms of the dust. But this morning he said you were miserable worms of the dust. I'm done." Now, I love Episcopalians. And not all priests would say that, okay? That was a long time ago. It doesn't happen anymore. By the way, it was very, very sweet, very, very special to attend Phyllis's mother's funeral yesterday at St. Patrick's Catholic Church. It was beautiful. It was sweet. Was wonderful. So this wondrous creative process would work constantly in, through, and as us very successfully, and it will when we become totally free of the mental blocks and the emotional conflicts that get in the way. And isn't it wonderful? We have tools. We have ways to work through all of those things that we've gathered and are hoarding in our subconscious mind that never were true, didn't belong to us, but we received them because they were given to us probably by very well-meaning adults. And now we get to realize we have formed some very exquisite strategies that we probably needed when we were growing up to survive. We're grown up now. All is well. They're not serving us anymore. A belief that we have to suffer in any way. A belief that we're separate from our source. A belief that, gosh darn, nobody likes me. All of those things that are still hanging out in the subconscious mind are cluttering up and keeping the creative process from flowing through us perfectly and constantly so that we can demonstrate our good instantly. That's the day that's coming, and you and I are in the process of helping it happen. How? By beginning to do our own personal work. Sure, we come to classes, we give each other assignments, I give most of them, and most people do them. Almost all of them. And they get stickers on their papers when they do. Good job! You're the best! We do our work. I do my personal work, my spiritual work, every single day. Because I want to keep clear. I want to be an instrument through which spirit has a wonderful time recirculating. I want to be a recirculating fountain of life, and I am. I want to be a recirculating fountain of love, a fountain of joy, a fountain of good in every way. Don't you? Okay, will you say with me, I am a recirculating fountain of life.
I am a recirculating fountain of life.
I'm a recirculating fountain of love.
I'm a recirculating fountain of love.
Look at somebody and tell them that. I'm a recirculating fountain of love. Oh boy, are we going to have a good hospitality hour today. You see, it's the inner work that we do in order to become so clear that we are constantly letting God be God in us. We all have a war room. The war room is within us. And that's where we get to do our work. It's part of this mind-brain consciousness that works to provide exquisite strategies rather than opening up to the greater truth. So let's just change that whole environment. Let's move the whole thing, starting within ourselves, to, oh, let there be peace on earth. Oh, God, let there be peace in my own soul. Sometimes we pray that way. Sometimes we just say, let it be. Let it be. And it is, because we are constantly being loved, guided, supported, nurtured, inspired, nudged by life itself, saying, wake up, wake up. Don't you know who you are? And we're learning. And one of the best ways that we are learning is by teaching each other, by loving each other, by being together on some of the greatest projects in the world. We're unique and powerful co-creators with Spirit's infinite stream of life. Would you say with me, I'm a free-flowing,
recirculating fountain of life.
I give and receive in a perfect harmonious activity of aliveness. Harmonious activity of aliveness. And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community as together we create a world that works for all.